And then I changed to Benfica. It's mine since 2012. I'm here in Benfica, but I had 1 year, 15, 16. I was in Angola, 1 de Agosto, Angola. I was 1 year there in Angola.
Okay, and how was the experience in Angola? Who is the football there? Because I have no idea.
It's another world. It's not just a football experience. It's the life experience over there. It's another world. It's a social experience, cultural experience. I was fortunate because they speak Portuguese too. So I didn't have to adapt to that, neither them to me. But the rest, it's very different. And the party and the way they live their lives, the weather, it's everything different, and the characteristics of the goalkeepers, it's everything different, and the lack of technical work. Now I'm speaking about goalkeeper specific stuff. It's hard, but they have some talent. They are like, I don't want to make it general, but like African goalkeeper, typical African goalkeeper. But imagine you have several goalkeepers from Cameroon, Nigeria, Senegal, that they were born, or they come very young to Italy, France, Belgium, Swiss, and it's different. You see different stuff. The guys in Angola, you see, they live there. They don't have almost no goalkeeper coaches, and they have a lack of many things. But it's good too, because you can arrive there and you can see them evolving and being better in several stuff. It's very good, and they are very thankful for everything, because they don't have almost nothing, and you give them something, you are a god for them. It's very, your heart becomes full, and the experience was very good. 1 year, but it was very good. Very good.
Okay.
Experience.
And did you work with first team goalkeepers, so with the young?
No. Young, just young. From I was head of goalkeeping of the academy. They had a big academy in that club. They built the big academy, a good project. First they started with Spanish coaches. Then they changed to Portuguese coaches. I was with them, with the Portuguese coaches. They arrived before me, and they stayed there for 2 or 3 years more. There are some there yet. And it changed a lot, that club. They have many, many players now that went to the first team, their first team. They had good performances in Champions League, African Champions League. And some players, they sell to Europe. Some players, they are still there, and many of them they arrived to the national team. It was a very good, very interesting project over there. But I was only in the youth. I was the head of goalkeeping, but as I told you, no, we had only one goalkeeper coach for I don't know how many goalkeepers and how many teams, and then we found some very interesting guys to work with us. Until I didn't get the guys, I was there in the pitch. Yeah? When they arrived, okay, I did some work with them, some formation with them, and then they stayed with the teams, and I was really the coordinator, not the guy that goes to the pitch. But half year I was in the pitch too, but only with the youth, not the first team. No.
Okay. Well, at least you taught them something, because probably, as you said, they didn't know much about goalkeeping and training. You probably taught them how to work.
Yes, I believe that it's as I told you. You get I got out of there with my heart very full because they were very thankful for everything. The smallest things that you can imagine that you teach, that you say to them, the smallest thing that they see you doing, that they see you speaking about, they are very thankful because they are almost at zeros. They are empty. They are empty of knowledge. Understand? So if that goalkeeper coaches, they are empty of knowledge, how can they teach the goalkeepers? It's impossible. It's impossible. To have a goalkeeper coach, it's always good. It's better than not having. That was the reality there. But if you make that goalkeeper's coaches better, the goalkeepers improve a lot. Now just you are reminding me of good memories. There are three goalkeepers. Just one of them was there already, but three goalkeepers of that time, since 2015, they achieved the first team of Primeiro de Agosto.
Oh,
They
okay.
achieve the first team, they go to national teams. They go on loan to another clubs in Girabola, the National League of Angola. So imagine kids that live with no money, no food, nothing. Water. Water there is a precious thing. It's like gold over there, water. They live with nothing. And this I'm a humble guy, but I think I helped goalkeeper coaches there. That helped goalkeepers that now they live good and they can have a car, they can have a house, they can imagine you are going to laugh. They can have boots and gloves. They can have boots and gloves. Don't smile because
No,
here
I believe you. It's just another word,
they
yeah.
don't have gloves. They don't have gloves over there. I don't have the number of gloves that I brought from Portugal. Gifts from goalkeepers, gifts from some brands that I took to Angola to give to the kids, and boots. Hundreds. Me and the rest of the Portuguese guys. Hundreds of material. This kind of material. Imagine what it is to see that goalkeeper. I lost the trace. I don't know if he is still a goalkeeper. I remember a kid, he was like under 14, and he asked me to train there. He was very tall. He was very tall. And we put him on the goal. And the goalkeeper coach said, no, I think he's not good. He doesn't catch the balls, no technique. And because he was so tall, I said, give him these gloves, my gloves. Give him my gloves just to see what happens. I cannot explain, but it's like seeing you putting an attacker. When you put an attacker on the goal, it's one thing without the gloves. When we gave the gloves to the kids, we have a goalkeeper over there. He becomes taller, even taller, with a good presence and catching the balls and it's incredible because sometimes over there you have these things the details that you can give to them and you don't you are you don't imagine what because here a kid with gloves that cannot catch the balls for two they have gloves. Let me see if I can explain in English so everybody can understand. You buy some gloves or your agent gives you some gloves. And 2 weeks after you say, oh, no, they don't catch, they don't have enough grip. So I will have another. Over there, they use the gloves until you see every fingers catching the ball because they don't have nothing else. They don't have nothing else. To do the chin, you know what's the chin protectors?
Yes, yes.
Chin, yeah. Over there, they put, let me see if I have something. I have for my daughters here. In Portugal, we call it cartolin.
Yeah, oh, it's not, yes, yes, yeah.
It's not paper. No, they fold it. They fold it and they put it on the socks. It's the chin protectors.
It works, yeah.
It works for them. It's worked for them. Here, okay, chin protectors. There are brands that go to the clubs and they in the factory they do five pairs of chin protectors to every and personalized chin protectors. Over there, that doesn't exist. It's a different reality. And that's it. I don't even remember what you asked me in the beginning, but it's a good memory. That year, it was a very, very good memory that I have in my heart. And I still have contact with the goalkeeper coaches and the goalkeepers. They still send me messages. And it's a very, very artful.
I have a few technical questions about goalkeepers. But firstly, I want to ask you, before becoming a goalkeeper coach, how was your career as a goalkeeper? And did you always think to become a goalkeeper coach when you were a goalkeeper?
No, I didn't always think about that. You have time for me to answer?
Maybe. Yeah.
okay. I was like 8 or 9 years old, and I wanted to start playing. In my town club, it's called Cova da Piedade. It's near Lisbon. It's in the south side, near Almada. And I was born there, and I wanted to play there, but not as a goalkeeper. I wanted to be an attacker. But I was 9 years old. But the first degree over there, the first level over there, the first team was under 14. Okay. Only on the under 14. But I went there 2 or 3 years training, and they sent me back because I was so small. I didn't have the age. Send me back 2, 3 years. And after they opened the under 12 team. And over in the under 12, I was accepted and I started playing on that season as a center forward, lousy center forward. I was very fast because I was taller than the others. I didn't score many goals. I remember 5 or 6 goals in the season. And there was one match almost in the end of the season that our goalkeepers were out. I don't ask me why. I think it was Easter and they went on a family trip. I don't know, maybe something like that. No goalkeepers. And the coach found the tallest one to go to the goal. And it wasn't strange for me because in my street, in my neighborhood, sometimes I go, I like to, I'm Dasaev, I'm Paiuca, I'm Zenga, just to speak about Italian guys. It's not strange for me. It wasn't strange for me. So, okay, I go. I train the week, like 2 trainings. We only train twice a week. And it was good. And in the match I played, and I felt good. I felt good playing. But in the game after, I started as a forward again. I go as a forward again. I didn't stay as a goalkeeper. In the next year, I changed because I was under 14 there. We changed team, and I changed. I accepted the coach. Asked me, and I said, okay, I stay as a goalkeeper because I saw that I had more chances of staying on the list, going to every matches, even if I stay on the bench as a goalkeeper than as a center forward. So I started over there. I played until I was in the first team of that club. And then I moved to other clubs. In the maximum I was, it was in the third division of Portugal. I played there, and with 26, 27, I stopped because I was studying sports science, and there was an opportunity to go as an assistant coach, not a goalkeeper coach, in Sporting Lisbon, in the team of under 14. When I arrived there, there was a huge meeting with all the assistant coaches, the future assistant coaches, and the coordinator knowed that I was knew that I was a goalkeeper, and he asked me to be a part of the goalkeeping department. It was a new department in 2005. A new department that was starting, and I said, no, I don't want to be a goalkeeper coach. I want to. I had the fever of José Mourinho. Everybody in Portugal, in that time, everybody wanted to be José Mourinho, and I suffered of that too. I couldn't see what was my career, where could I be more helpful. I said I wanted to be assistant coach. I did that year as an assistant coach. But during the year, during the season, I saw how they worked, the goalkeeper coaches, the new goalkeeper coaches, friends of mine. And I said, if I choose to be a goalkeeper coach, maybe it's not bad. Maybe I have a future here. I like what they are doing, because always in my mind I had the suffering that my former goalkeeper coaches did to me. Yeah, it was that wasn't goalkeeping. It was just suffering a lot. When I was a goalkeeper, the goalkeeper coaches killed the goalkeeper.
Team. When you were in the first team, huh? Or when you were young?
First team or and in the youth too.
Okay.
It was a big punishment, the goalkeeping. But then I saw that guys in 2005, and I think, no, this is much different. With this, I have a match with this. Okay, I can work like this. In the end of the season, I talked with the coordinator, and they found that I could join the department. And since then, I was a goalkeeper coach every time.
Okay. So you started late to be a goalkeeper, and you stopped pretty early because you were 26 or 27, right?
Yeah. I started as a goalkeeper with 13 years. I stopped at 26. Okay. I think it was 26. And after that, in 2005, I was a coach, assistant coach. 2006, I started as a goalkeeper coach.
Okay, so now it's 15 years of being a goalkeeper coach.
Yeah.
And talking about goalkeepers, because I have a few questions. What are the characteristics that you look for in a goalkeeper? Like the main characteristics are technical, mentality, physical. What are the most important things in your opinion?
I think that we have to look at everything. And if we speak about the high level, in the highest level, you have to see everything, but you have to understand something. And it's a good question, because a few days ago, I was speaking with a colleague, a goalkeeper coach, that is a goalkeeper coach in our Portuguese first league. And I was speaking about his goalkeeper. And there are things that we cannot see in Y-Scout or Insta-Scout or just watching the matches. The mentality and the intelligence, you cannot see. You cannot see full in this kind of observations. Yeah, you have to be his goalkeeper coach to realize. And it was very funny, because I thought he was different than the guy told me. I thought he was a different guy, and he was interesting if he was like I thought. But after I speak with the goalkeeper coach, I found that he doesn't have the capacity of being a goalkeeper in the club like Benfica. And there is something else that I want to say to explain to you. Sometimes in the highest level, we look at a goalkeeper and we say, he is in a bad positioning. I don't like him because he's always in bad positioning. Okay, but that doesn't cut the goalkeeper, because if he's in that positioning, maybe his coach tells him to be there. And maybe he didn't realize, maybe he doesn't see things like your eyes see things. So the bad positioning, the tactical part, doesn't make me dismiss a goalkeeper just because of that.
Okay.
Understand what I say?
Yes.
The tactical part, it's much more complex. Sometimes they are in that positioning. Sometimes you look at the goalkeeper and say, in Benfica, I need a goalkeeper that plays with 20 meters on his back. He has to cover the depth, the space behind the defensive line. Okay, but he plays in a team that his defensive line plays in the box, so he cannot play like we want the goalkeepers to play. And sometimes dismissing goalkeepers just because of that, it's wrong. It's wrong. Of course, if you look at kids, and let's talk about young kids, like under 10, under 12, there are things much more important. There are the things that you cannot give to the goalkeepers. Cannot give. You cannot make them to be to have a good morphology. The height, the height of the goalkeeper, you cannot, or the characteristics that can make them be or having a good morphology, you cannot give him during any phase. Okay, you cannot give this. The speed, if he's an athletic, if he's very fast, if he's a goalkeeper fast, you can improve some things, but if he's not, if you don't search for, if you like the goalkeeper just because good technique, but he's not fast, but maybe he's under 12, maybe at under 20 he will be fast. No, he will not be. He will never be fast. So in that age, we look at that, and also we look at a thing that let me see how can I say in English. If he is brave, if he doesn't, if he's not afraid of the duels, if he's not afraid of playing behind the defensive line, very high in the positioning, if he's not afraid of playing with the foot and taking some risks, if he's not like that, you can say to me, maybe you can change him. Yes, maybe. But if he has that, it's one point in favor of him. If he's already have that, it's one point in favor. What we believe here in Benfica is these three things: the height, or let's not talk only about the height, the morphology, the speed, and the bravery. You cannot give the guys. If you are choosing goalkeepers of under 10, under 12, that ages, okay. After that, you have phases to develop another stuff: the strength, the power, the resistance, the technique. You have another phases to do that. If he doesn't have that background, forget about the goalkeeper. If he is a goalkeeper under 10, the only thing he has to give is he's very good technically. If it is the only thing, he is not fast, he will not be tall, he's not brave, he will not be a top goalkeeper. Maybe he can play until, I don't know, I have good examples of that, until under 18, top, maximum under 18. After that, forget about the goalkeeper. If he doesn't have that background and that, let me see how to say it in English. It's some things come from you, from the cradle, from your mom's, from your father. Some things it's genetic, yeah. Sometimes some things come from there, so from that source. And some things you cannot give, you cannot make a goalkeeper that's going to be 175. You cannot recruit him to be. I'm talking about big clubs. I'm not talking that every goalkeepers can play, but in the big clubs, in the recruitment of big clubs, in the way we watch the goalkeepers, that was the first question. For a big club like Benfica, we cannot recruit goalkeepers that we think, and we have tests for that, with they are we can have some margin of mistake on this, but almost no mistake, but we can have, of course. If he doesn't have that, if he is not fast, if he is not brave in the beginning, we will not bring him. We will not bring him.
I actually totally understand what you mean, because I've experienced something similar. Now I'm 22, but when I was playing in Italy, I started to play as a goalkeeper when I was 5. I never played as an outfield player. And when I was around 12, 13 years old, I had a trial with Atalanta, the Italian team. And the reason why they didn't recruit me is because my parents, back then I was 12 or 13, my parents are not very tall. So they didn't see me growing up. Then fortunately, I'm much taller than my parents, but I was just lucky. But yeah, so I understand what you mean about the age, the speed and brain.
Yeah, that's the first thing. You don't have to pick the goalkeeper and let's do the test. No. With the fathers, you can have an idea, but we don't get the goalkeepers because of that. It's a much higher number of characteristics that we have to search for. And I want to tell you something else. Here in Benfica, we have a huge department, many guys with much quality. Many goalkeepers from this department during these years, they went to other teams, international, first league. It's a department with a big capacity. I'm speaking individually, okay, that give capacity to the department. And some of the goalkeeper coaches, they are like me, 15 years of experience, 10 years of experience. This is a lot of goalkeepers that we saw, a lot of goalkeepers that we see, some of them reach the top, some of them didn't reach. So I think we can have the capacity of what's, because we saw them from under 10 until under 20, what happened? So now we change the approach, we are changing the approach of our recruitment and the things that we want to see in the goalkeepers in the younger stages, under 10, under 12, and what we want to develop over there, what we want to recruit and what we want to develop over there. We are not just looking at, now I spoke a little bit about the recruitment. In the development phase of that ages, we don't want the goalkeepers to be too focused on the technique development. It's the athleticism. It's the physical literacy. Okay, we have a big problem in Portugal. I don't know how it is in Italy.
What age you don't want the goalkeepers to focus mainly on technique but on athleticism?
Until under 12. Until 12 years old.
So very young. Okay.
I don't say that you cannot do technique with them. Okay, we can. And we know that the goalkeeping. It's very friends with the coordination, working of the coordination and the skills and the physical literacy, the fundamentals of an athlete. Okay, the things that we cannot give because there are phases to develop some things. Okay, if we don't develop until that age, that pass. and you cannot bring it back. But the technique, we can give it after. The tactical thinking, we can give it after. Yes? Just let me just give you an example. I will tell you the goalkeepers that I like more. Ederson, Oblak, Ter Stegen, Neuer, Alisson. Five goalkeepers that I like the most. Of course, I can tell you more five that I like it too. I like them too. All these guys, they are fantastic athletes. They are fantastic athletes. This is no coincidence. This is no coincidence. And if you, I believe some of them I know, some of them I don't know, but I believe that you research, if you research what was their past in that ages, it wasn't just about the goalkeeping. It has to be a multilateral development over there. They needed to focus on many, many, many athleticism stuff. Yeah. In the beginning, I believe in that. I truly believe in that. They didn't just focus. They didn't forget about everything and just focus on the technique. No, I don't believe that didn't happen. They are great athletes, and only the great athletes become top goalkeepers like them. Let me just, I wanted to tell you something, but now I think it vanished from my head.
You were saying something about Portugal, that you have a problem.
Maybe. Yeah, like this. In Portugal, we have a big problem with the physical education of the kids. Okay, this is every world in the whole world. The kids don't play on the streets anymore. Yeah, this is all the world like this. But adding to this, our physical education, since the kids go to school, first degree, fourth degree, it's very poor. They don't pass many hours having physical activity. Yeah, they don't have physical activity, almost nothing, with poor spaces to play, with poor materials, with no time to play. And here in football, when we have let's not speak just about football, but specifically of goalkeepers. When we have the goalkeepers, we have to try to bring what they are missing from our lives, from their lives, at home, that they don't play on the streets anymore. They don't play. They just stay on the PlayStation and on cell phones. And the lack of physical education and in the schools. We cannot forget about that. We cannot assume that they have already that. No. Sometimes even in Benfica, we have goalkeepers with problems of throwing and catching balls with the left arm. Imagine that they are right-handed.
Yeah.
With the left arm, they have problems. They have problems doing a rolling in
Wait, but at what age? Because come on, to play in Benfica, I think.
What?
At what age they struggle to throw with a weak hand and they are not able to do?
To jump with one leg and the other leg, simple things, simple things of athleticism and of physical literacy, throwing, jumping, running. Some guys they don't know how to run. Okay, how can they be goalkeepers? Okay, they catch the balls, they can do good dives, they can do good two-fours, like you say in Italy. But they are not athletes. They need to develop that things. And after, let's go to the technique. Let's go deep on the technique. Let's go deep on the decision making, on the technical or on the tactical understanding of the match. After, we have time. After, first, they have to be very competent in motor skills. They have to be very competent.
I agree with you. The only thing that someone can say is that the technique you can learn when you're young, because after, when you get older, like around 20, some people say that you is difficult to learn. What do you think?
I don't believe in that.
Okay. Okay.
I don't believe in that.
You think you can learn at any age?
Yeah, if you could. When I tell you this, first thing, I'm not telling that you cannot teach technique to a kid with 9 years old. You can, but you cannot sacrifice the rest, the important stuff in that age. You don't sacrifice. If you have time, of course, here in Benfica, we have time. That kids train they have three training sessions. They have time to work everything. To work everything, but they also now I remember one thing. That kids in Benfica, they have, I don't know if it's weekly or every 2 weeks, they have dance with a dance teacher. They go one day. They go play basketball. They go play handball. They go and do gymnastic. They go and do. High hand coordination, high foot coordination, just skills that they are not, because the technique, it's not just, now speaking about the goalkeepers, it's not just the catching, the handling, the high reception, the volley. It's not just that. That's not just the skills. It's not just that, the general skills. To be an athlete, it's not like that, but the skills, the phase to that you can improve better your skills. I agree. It's under 10, under 12. It's in that age. The general skills, not the specific skills, And I'm speaking about. I'm not saying that only with 20 years old you start learning technique. No, you can start at under 10. But don't put that thing above the physical literacy, okay? And under 14, very important. Maybe in under 14, the technique, it's the most important thing. It's more important than the coordination you did before, the physical literacy you did before, the skills that you did before. Now it's the specific technique, okay? And after it's to know the game, to know the game with the team, okay? And after, okay, with 50, 16 years old, you can start pushing on power and strength. Yeah, maybe we have different phases for all of this, but to giving emphasis to one thing doesn't mean that the rest disappear. But there are exceptions. I don't agree that you can put a kid of under 12 thinking too much about his positioning. Let them be free. Let them be brave. Tell him to be brave, to attack the ball. Don't teach him to learn the 1v1. I know that in Italy, the goalkeeping school doesn't like much the blocking, yeah?
Yeah.
Blocking like the Germans, yeah. I know. But it exists. It's a thing that exists. But here what we want the goalkeepers of under 12, under 13 to do, we don't teach that block. We don't teach the block. We teach to go. After, okay, we have to understand. It's better to arrive sooner than the attacker. If you can attack first, you go. If you can attack at the same time, it's better than to block. If you have no other thing to do, you block. Okay, but it's after. We don't teach the blocking. We don't want to teach the blocking too soon. It's a very specific technique, and that puts the goalkeepers. I don't know how to say in English. It rephrases the goalkeepers. The goalkeepers, they want to stop, and we want the goalkeepers to be brave and to go.
Okay. Sorry, examples. Which category do you prefer to train? Like the kids or the first team?
Funny question. You know one thing that I do, I like to train the first team. I like it. I was many years in the B team. It's a level here in Portugal, the B team. It's the last degree before the professionals.
Okay.
It's the last degree. And I feel very comfortable training that category. How can I tell you? The highest level, it's very tough. It's very tough. It makes you old because it's many, many matches, playing every 3 days, every 4 days, travels for this, for travels for that, hotels every time, big pressure, but it's not the pressure. What makes me not liking this too much is you live like a roller coaster. You are 1 week you are the king, in the other week you are son of a bitch, go away from here. Not just thinking, I'm not just talking about goalkeeper coach, in general, players, coaches.
Yes.
If you are in the highest level, you are the king, and in the day after or 3 days after, you have to go away because you suck. And I don't like that, because when you live it like I live professionally, my family sacrifices a lot with my absence, and being on this roller coaster is not easy, because my sacrifice is always the same. It's always the same. And I say this not only for me, but for the players. It costs me. I suffer just to see how some players suffer with this. So what can I tell you? I like to train in the first team, but I have no problem of if I have to next year to go to the youth, I go. If I have to go as a head of goalkeeping of another club, I don't mind, because I like to try to pass some knowledge that I learned from other people, other coaches. I learn from other coaches, other goalkeepers, other people. The things that I learned, I want to pass it on to do. I like to do that. So I'm not. I will not. I will never say that I only train first teams. No, it's not like that, because it's not. I know that some guys, they like this. They like this kind of life. I don't love it because of what I explained before.
And how many years have you been doing this life with the first team?
Not many years. I started January 2019 only.
Okay. So recently. Okay.
It's three seasons, but it's 2.5 years, almost.
You before were talking about blocking, and I saw Arsenal Benfica a couple of weeks ago, and there is Benfica goalkeeper Elton that seems very good to do the blocking save. Against Arsenal, I made a couple of saves. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
And the question that I want to ask you, if someone is really good, for instance, that keeper, I think is good in the blocking saves, do you teach him to attack the ball as well? Or do you... Okay.
Of course. I have three goalkeepers this year. We have three goalkeepers this year that they are very different. They are very different. I have one goalkeeper, he is Greek, but he was born in Germany. So imagine the capacity and the will that he has to block. He wants to block every time. the ball is 20 meters away and he wants to block. Yeah, Ter Stegen. And I love Ter Stegen. But it's not like that. As we see and we respect schools, Italian school and German school in 1v1, they are very different. In Germany, they only want to block. In Italy, they only want attack, attack, attack. And you can have the best of both, because both things can happen in the game. And I can tell you, I will speak about mistakes, but I can tell you many, many actions of German goalkeepers that they didn't want to save the ball. They just wanted to block. And I can tell you many Italian goalkeepers' mistakes that they attack, but it wasn't to attack, because you attack when the ball is there to attack. Attacking and the attacker chips the ball, it's not a good action, okay? So I believe that both things can live together. And this Greek goalkeeper that is more German than Greek, he only likes to block. So we had to push him to attack, to stay when the ball is distant, to stay and react, not just blocking, because in blocking you are too short. You are too short. You have a small space to save. If you stay in orientation to the ball, they are very fast in reaction. They are very fast. So if we train reaction training in 5 meters and they save it all, why in match you do the block? Why? You stay. Okay? And in the other hand, I have another, you spoke about Elton. I have another goalkeeper, Belgium, but he's Serbian. Serbian, Belgium, it's Miles Vilar. That he is, I don't know, he's like a train in 1v1. He was like a train. When there is a situation of 1v1, he doesn't break. He doesn't break. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. And he was different. We had to try to teach the timings to go, the timings to break. If you are in short distance, okay, you block. If you are in long distance, you stop and you save. He's very fast too. And trying him not to lose that attack, because when he goes to the ball, no one passes him, because he's like a train without brakes. He goes and he does very good attacks. So one of them, trying to teach him to attack. The other guy, trying to teach him to stop. But you can do it. And they are not very old. One is 21, the German guy is 26. And I think they learned. So they can. You can learn. You can learn techniques and methods and decisions. I think this is more a matter of decision. More a matter of decision and some habits that they have from behind, and it's making trying to make a mix of good things. It's good to attack the ball sometimes. Sometimes it's good to block the ball. To do always the same thing in every action, I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. It's my idea.
I agree with you. I agree with you because I'm now playing in England, and here is more a blocking kind of school. I remember when I came here, the goalkeeper coach told me at the first training, I tried to attack the ball, and he told me, don't do that because you can risk to a penalty. Because here...
I didn't mention that. That can happen. But for me, it's the penalty, and it's when I remember the goalkeepers from the 80s and the 90s, at least here in Portugal, it's with space, 1v1 with space, the attacker with the ball on his foot, ready to do something, and they dive. they dive and they chip the ball, or they dribble the goalkeeper and they make a goal. And now you don't see that. You don't see that. Not even in Italy. Because I'm speaking about Italy because there is that thing on the school just to attack. Now you don't see that much because the goalkeepers, they are stopping and they are blocking and they are attacking when they have to attack. The decision is different. They are working more and more the decision, and they are able to use all the resources. They have more technical resources to use in every situation.
Okay. And then another question that I want to ask you, because I was talking with other goalkeeper coaches, Italian goalkeeper coaches, and they were talking about how they train explosivity in goalkeepers, because some of them use weights in the gym and then they train the pitch. Some of them don't like goalkeepers to use weights. Others prefer goalkeepers to make a lot of saves, like during the session, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 saves at the same time. What's your opinion?
The goalkeepers in Benfica, they do strength. We work power in the gym, but we also have plyometrics in the pitch. So I'm a fan of working strength, only that. What I believe is every goalkeeper is an individuality. One goalkeeper, you can have a goalkeeper that needs to work more plyometrics, and maybe he does one more session in the gym of plyometrics. Another goalkeeper needs to improve his maximum strength. Yeah. So he works, yeah, maybe he has a plus session in the gym. And you can have another goalkeeper, maybe he's older, and maybe he had some physical problem in the back, and he can do a different kind of strength, a plus session, maybe gathering the objectives of the strength and the technical objectives, okay, or something about prevention, or something about agility that can help you do better one technique that can help you in your basic position, in your stability, can help you in the displacements, in the coordination of the displacements, starting with the correct foot, stopping in balance, to help you to be strong in the impact of the ball on you, to make deflections and to catch the ball, to be strong in the duels, air duels or 1v1 duels against your opponents, to help you to throw longer balls, to shoot, to kick longer, maybe this kind of abilities, because the guy, he doesn't have to work, you don't have to put him lifting more weights to increase the maximal strength because he's optimized. In the plyometrics, you cannot give him more. And maybe in that age, in that stage, it's better than age, maybe you can put your strength training pointing in another direction. Okay, agora, look, you spoke about 8, 9 repetitions, yeah? You also spoke about that. I'm not a fan of that. No, I don't do that. That was what I told 20 minutes ago or 30 minutes ago that I didn't like as a goalkeeper.
Okay.
That was what I remember. And I think that doesn't happen in the match. But Christian, with an objective, if you do that and you tell me a good objective for doing that, we can accept that. I did that. Now I remember I did that. I don't do that now, maybe because I don't need, but I had a goalkeeper, maybe it's on my mind. I had a goalkeeper with a lack of explosivita.
Okay.
Like, yes, he couldn't jump and fly and save. He couldn't push the floor. He was very good technically. He wasn't an athlete. That was the problem, but that I couldn't solve. But I tried to solve. I tried in my mind. What can I do, my friend? Let's begin to do the typical Brazilian exercise.
Yes. Yeah.
Ball on that side, turn. Ball on the other side, turn. Ball on the other side, like 10 repetitions until he's dead. Or sometimes with vests, with weights, just pushing and dive. Maybe I didn't help him, but I tried. I tried to help him with that kind of exercises. No problem. If you have an objective, no problem of doing whatever you want.
And do you like to use obstacles? Because I love using obstacles. I don't know. What's your opinion?
Yes, yes. The obstacles I use in the plyometrics. In the day of when I work plyometrics, it's with the obstacles. Yeah, I use it.
But I mean, in the pitch, when you dive, for instance, if I have to work on a save high on my left and I put the obstacles and I dive over the obstacles, that's something that for me is beneficial. I don't know what's your opinion.
I don't, for the diving, I don't use it a lot.
Okay.
But I used already, and maybe, and you when you, every goalkeeper coaches will understand what I say. Your experience during your career makes you go to one way instead of another way. I give you an example. When we have 2 days off, imagine 1 day off, okay? We play Sunday, 1 day off Monday, and we train Tuesday. I do everything normal. When we have a game Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, 2 days off, and I train Wednesday, I decrease the load on the training. I decrease. Because, why? Because they don't go on the gym and I decrease the load of training. Sometimes we just do a game, a foot volley, something like that. Rondo, something. Sometimes we just do that when we have 2 days off. Why? Because 5 years ago, we had 2 days off. I got to the training and pushed the goalkeepers. And then one of the goalkeepers went to a possession with the team. He stretched too much. He did gym. He did, 50 minutes of specific training. And in the possession, he had an injury. And that came in my mind that I pushed too much. When you have 2 days off, maybe you are not ready to just push. And you were speaking. What did you ask me? Because I wanted, I was in this history because we were talking about
the, I asked you the obstacle dive.
Yeah. And I used to do that. But I had some goalkeepers that didn't like to do that. And they fell bad. They didn't feel comfortable doing that. So I found different ways of making them to dive and fly instead of using the obstacles. But it's not the first time and the first week that I think maybe I can do that. Maybe this session, I think about that. But in the other hand, I remember, yeah, but I don't know if they like, if it's good, if it works, I don't know. It's your experience, and every goalkeeper coach has something like this. Your experience tells you things to go, okay, let's go, or maybe I don't go because something happened that doesn't make me go that way. Understand what I said?
Yeah, I perfectly
I think it's I think it's very good. I want to do, I did it already. There is a long time that I don't do because I had some experience. Some goalkeepers didn't like, some goalkeepers didn't felt comfortable and they felt bad once or twice. And I stopped and I go other way to work that kind of techniques.
So you do without obstacles at all. You just, what do you do?
Because I use the obstacles, but not for the dive.
Okay, and for the dive, what do you do if you want to push them to go high and far? You don't use anything, just the ball and the cones and the goal.
Sometimes I use a stick. Sometimes I use a step, just to mark the steps.
Okay.
They put one step here, up, one step down, and when the ball comes, they have to cross. Just to mark the steps. Sometimes I put the sticks, and my friend, they jump a lot. They jump a lot the same. It's not because of the obstacle. I use the obstacles to do the plyometrics. And after, I don't use the obstacle just to the fly. I could use, I used it, but now I don't use. I feel that I don't need them to have the obstacle to do the proper jump.
Okay, makes sense.
And I understand here something. The type of work, maybe you find it's a little bit different than you are used to.
Maybe, okay. Because the goalkeeper coach I have now wants me to train in the gym. With weights, and then when we go on the pitch, we train with the obstacles. We don't do much plyometrics because he thinks it's too much aggressive for knees and back. If you do plyometrics and then goalkeeper training, that is opinion. But I feel good, so I'm happy with that.
But you can do plyometrics in the gym.
If I want to, yes, but
in the pitch, no.
Basically, what he says is when you do box jump, squat jump, or when you keep jumping over obstacles, he doesn't want us to do that because he thinks if you do train session in the gym with strength, like with weights or without weights, and then you go on the pitch and train as a goalkeeper, that's enough. If you try to do plyometrics with jumping, that's too much stressful for your ankles, for your knees, and for your back. That's what he believes in.
But we never do plyometrics, and before we do legs on the gym. In the day of plyometrics, we don't do legs, so it's not too much load. What I was thinking is, maybe on the gym, you do plyometrics or not?
No, just strength.
No.
That's
my opinion is that the goalkeeper, as any other athlete, needs to work the reactive strength, the counter movement power. And for the goalkeeper, it's goalkeeper, central defender, the jumping, and the time that you spend on each jump, the time you spend on the floor, it's very important. Now, I'm not speaking about obstacles like the runners of 110 meters obstacles. I'm not speaking about that kind of obstacles. Yeah, and we use it jumping with one leg because goalkeepers push with one leg.
Oh, okay, well, that's interesting. And do you like to do like more than one jump with one leg, or you just maximum jump with one leg?
No. Max four obstacles.
Okay.
We don't use more than four obstacles.
Okay, makes sense. And do you like personally to train with weights in the gym, like squats, deadlift, compound movement, or it's more with a kettlebell and
No, it depends. That, as I said before, it depends. Maybe we work that. Now imagine if we have 3 days of training, I don't have a day to do that. If we have 2 days of training before each match, I don't have a day to do that. But if we have 4 days between matches, in the first day, we can do that. In the first day, we can do that. No problem. Okay. Now, every goalkeeper, different. Every goalkeeper, it's different. Maybe the goalkeeper that needs to do maximum strength to work that, he does more. He does more sessions about that. Maybe the goalkeeper that's older, maybe doesn't do that. He doesn't need to do that. Maybe the guy that needs to work plyometrics, he does one session with squat, for example. It can be squat or another legs exercise. But he needs to do extra plyometrics, not extra squat jump, because he is optimized on that. But he doesn't have, he's not reactive. He's not, he doesn't have enough explosivita. Okay. So he needs to work more on that. But of course we do that. We do that.
Okay. Perfectly makes sense. Last question that I want to ask you about technical things is this. I'm noticing that many goalkeepers are doing this, in my opinion, mistake, and sometimes I do this as well, when they keep the legs quite wide, and then when they need to dive for a dive on the floor, for instance, they do the step in and then they dive. Should I show you, or do you understand what I mean?
No, I understand.
Okay, perfect.
I understand.
Do you think that's a mistake, or what do you think?
You know, I have a very big friend, Chris. He's a Slovenian goalkeeper coach, fantastic goalkeeper coach. I think he's working in Slovakia now. He's not in Slovenia, but he's Slovenian. And he works the goalkeepers to do that, to be like this, step in. He calls him negative step, calls it negative step and jump. And they are very good doing that. They are very good doing that. Now I give you my opinion. For me, it's a mistake.
Because you lose space. You lose space.
Of course. Of course. Now another thing that I want to say to you. But in one hand, it's not because every goalkeeper do that you say, no, every goalkeeper do, that's not a mistake. No, that's wrong. You have to think about things. But if every goalkeeper does that, it means that there is something in the goalkeeper's head. This is brain. It's brain. It's not body. This is brain that makes the goalkeepers, every time a guy is shooting, to open the legs. He shoots and you open the leg. Shoots and you open the leg. A different problem is in the penalty kicks. In the penalty kicks, you can mark penalty kicks. Instead of being here, you can put this close and you can push to the side and you don't lose distance. But in the shots, why every goalkeeper do that? We didn't discover. For me, the biggest step we can give, because doesn't matter the school, every school it's very good, very fun. It's fantastic. Every school is fantastic. The Italian, the Brazilian, the German, the Spanish, the Dutch school, fantastic schools. The Russian school, they are fantastic. But they are strong in one thing and not so strong in the other things. But there are no secrets now. I can see Brazilian trainings, Italian trainings, German trainings. There are no secrets. I think that the secret now is to understand more what happens here. It's the neuroscience. It's the cognitive aspects. It's the coordination, but the coordination here inside, to work this coordination here. How can the neuroscientists help us, the goalkeepers? Because it's not, you speak about that, I don't know you as a goalkeeper. You do that, yeah?
Sometimes I do that for the just if the a shoot is on the floor low.
My friend, I think that maybe everything, maybe every training, we have something working that, and we have always the feedback to our goalkeepers. Watch your legs. Push outside. But they keep doing it. If you take, sometimes we put some sticks, we put a mark to remind them to push. But if you take the marks and if you do a free exercise, they will do it again. Guys like you that found this is a mistake and want to work this. I know many guys like this. There is a guy that I know that I told you that thinks, okay, the goalkeepers do that. So I will help them to be very strong doing the negative step. They are like this, and now they do this and they push very strong. And they are good doing that. It was a mistake, but I think he's helping them. Because not me, not you, Christian, no goalkeeper coach, I think that can have a solution for what's here. We need help. We need to look deeper.
Because what I believe in is that I do this mistake just sometimes if the shot is low. When it's high, I never do that. Because I watch my video, I never do that when the shot is high. So I think what I'm doing is I'm trying to work on this and I'm trying to visualize, because I'm a big fan of meditation and visualization. And I think I strongly believe that if I keep working on this and I visualize myself doing the right thing, what I believe is doing the right thing.
Visualize inside?
Sooner or inside. Later.
You are visualizing. You are speaking about visualizing inside?
Yes.
Inside your head?
Yes.
Imagetic. It's like imagetic. Imagetic.
Imagine,
like imagetic. Yeah.
That I do that because I think I don't know what's your opinion about meditation and visualization, but I think you're a fan too, because we're talking about neuroscience. So
no, I'm a fan. I'm especially a fan of things that that can help you to improve 1%. Everything that can improve 1% the performance of the goalkeepers, I'm a fan. If it is optometry to improve your eyes, yeah. If it is hand-eye coordination, peripheral vision. Everything that can help, video tools, yeah, everything that can help, I'm a fan. And you spoke about the thing that I think it's a mistake of the goalkeepers. Of course it is. Okay. It is a goalkeeper. They lose distance, and we cannot think like, okay, everybody do. They do because they are not capable of correcting that. And it's not the goalkeeper's coach fault in our work, because I believe that everybody does like me. Show to the goalkeeper, you see, you do this. Now let's try to put here something for you to remember. Don't open too much your legs. In the moment of the shot, stay. If you have to push, push outside. Penalties. In the penalties, it's more easy. In the penalties, I think that if the goalkeeper is thinking about that, you can do that. You don't open because you know for sure when he's going to shoot. So you are thinking about that. You maintain your legs by your shoulders. And in the moment that you choose or that you see that you are going to some side, you push, you step outside and you fly. Okay? I think it's easier.
But it's easier too. But now I try to show you something, because let's see. Because I was watching, but there are so many penalties. For instance, yesterday there was Bayern Munich Lazio, and every time I see a goalkeeper with penalties, they are always stepping, but they don't do the step. They always put the leg in front and then is to dive.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think that's a mistake too, but everyone does that. I don't know what's your opinion.
But it was a goalkeeper that taught me this. If you think that there is a possibility of the penalty kick going to the center, it's good to do the step forward. Because you stay with you lose distance on the side, but you are not sure if it is, I don't know, like Aubameyang or Lacazette that put many penalties on the center. You are not sure, so you step forward and then go. And if the ball comes, you are closer to the hypothetical trajectory.
Okay. Yeah.
Just in this case, if you believe it's in one side, you don't have to step forward. You step on the side to go. Show me.
For instance, this is from yesterday.
And he goes too soon.
He probably goes to Zumba, he does the, you see, he put the left foot inside and then he went on the left.
It wasn't soon. Because he did double step too. He put behind. Sorry. I think he moved first the right foot and then the left foot. It's two timings like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't notice, but yeah, that's true. And okay. Then I'd like to show you just one more thing. Is it okay? I need to ask your permission. Is it okay if I show you something about Benfica goalkeeper?
Of course.
Okay, perfect.
Let me just close the door, okay?
Okay?
Because someone arrived. It's my daughters and they can... They arrived home and maybe they scream and interrupt us.
Okay, sorry for showing you this because this is Arsenal goal, but I want to know your opinion. The next action.
Put behind. Stop. I cannot show you, but I believe that he. That's my opinion. First, he can be one step forward.
At the beginning of the action.
The starting position could be. That's not because of that he suffered. When he appears, you stop. The goalkeeper, when appears, stop, please.
Ah.
You see? And the ball, where the ball started?
The ball was here because this is a player.
Because this is, we did a very, and it's easy because it's Arsenal, yeah? And it's this kind of players, Aubameyang, Saka. You see that this is a typical movement of Aubameyang, and he's very fast. He wins the ball in the first meters. He wins the ball to our central defenders. So, what this guy Saka, I think it's Saka, wants to do? He does that every week in the Premier League. We saw this many times. So. And it's not his fault, huh? because sometimes the game is too fast and you are analyzing so many things that you cannot rationalize and think about you can be one step forward or not. You are thinking about something else. You are giving speaking to one of your teammates. Okay, it's not his fault, but if he starts 1 meter forward, he would be closer when he decides to go. He would be closer to Aubameyang, and closer to Aubameyang, one step closer to Aubameyang, maybe he couldn't ship the ball like he did. Maybe Elton could be one step closer to him, and Aubameyang had to do something else, maybe dribble him. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just watching, thinking if Elton was just, yeah, maybe.
Don't tell me that he could attack the ball. If he attacks the ball, he suffers the goal the same.
No, if attack the ball, the same thing, yeah.
It's the same. For me, it's a very, very good action.
Yeah, it's a great goal.
Arsenal, Saka and Aubameyang, it's very typical of them. They are very strong doing this, especially Aubameyang. And what I can say is, 1 meter, imagine 1 meter. 1 meter away, and maybe Elton get the ball on the chest.
Probably.
Aubameyang, because he's a top player, he saw that and he tried to dribble and maybe he lose the ball. Okay, that's the only thing I think about this action. What do you suggest?
Honestly, I mean, they are great players. So if I was in goal, I would have conceded the goal anyway. But I think I would have done more or less the same thing. I think I would have run towards Aubameyang. As soon as he impacted the ball, I would have stopped. I don't know, because I'm not a big fan of the blocking save. So probably I would have just stand still. Like more or less what Buffon does. Buffon never does blocking save. Buffon just stands still.
Yes. Let me just say something. I like the blocking. It's better like this. I call it blocking, but sometimes it's not blocking. Sometimes it's stopping. If you have more distance than this, you stop. Facing the forward, okay, not rotating. I'm a fan of this when the distance is so close. When the distance is so close, I think you can increase a little bit more your surface, especially under, because you increase a little bit the space and you close the space under your legs. Sometimes the ball passes there. But I believe that.
I think he makes a good save in the second, in the first half, because I wrote here the minute. Let's see.
It was here. It's this section. But it's offside.
Yeah, but that was a great save. This was a great save.
Yeah, but imagine. This is. This position, starting position was good. He's not, imagine, the guy, I think, is the guy
I
can
think
put the ball.
Else, but I'm not sure.
The guy can shoot. Okay, there is a possibility of shooting. The guy can put the ball here on the left side, yeah, for a cross. Or he can put the ball on here. If the guy shoots, I don't think that Elton, in the position of the ball, Elton is not in a bad position. Okay? It will not be a curve ball. He's not in a bad position. And he's very close to attack the back of the defensive line. I think he's in a good positioning. But after, the ball was so perfect that he couldn't get more close to the attacker. He saw, he goes, okay. Now you tell me. If he stayed for the ball, he didn't get the ball on the foot. The ball didn't touch the foot and it passed close to the foot and it was a goal. And this, and I didn't say it was his fault, the same, but different techniques for different situations.
Because what I would have done is different, but I'm Italian, so my school, my thinking is probably a bit different. I don't know if you remember the save, okay, that was a mass, great save, of Buffon against Iniesta. Let me find it. No, it was 2 years ago, or 3 years ago.
I'm a big fan of Buffon. I didn't put Buffon as top five. He's not top five now, but maybe in all time, goalkeepers, all time is top five, okay? Not now.
Is very similar situation. It's a bit different, but it's a similar situation. Buffon just stand and then he saves.
But the ball wasn't low. It wasn't a low ball.
In this case, the ball wasn't low, but
the ball goes in the height of the hand. If it is lower.
Because I think if Elton was there, I think he would have tried to do the same thing he tried with Saka. So he would have tried the blocking save. And I don't know, in your opinion, in this kind of situation, would have been better to do what Buffon did or is better the Elton style?
My friend, it will be in the end. It will be always the what was the result?
Okay.
If Saka chipped the ball like Iniesta, Elton suffered the goal, and we can say you don't have to rotate. If Buffon suffered a low ball, you could say maybe if he increased the surface, maybe he saved. And what I'm not, just to explain how I see things, the German blocking, it's not like Elton does. German blocking, it's opening the legs. But this was an exception. Elton doesn't do this a lot. Doesn't do this a lot. I'm speaking about leaving that leg so behind, that much behind. Yeah, that's not the Elton technique. But I have a German goalkeeper and he does very good the star, let's call it the star. Opening the typical German blocking, opening all his legs with a very good flexibility. But why not you? Why do I have to take him off doing that? He can continue doing that. I have to teach him another resources, another techniques. And okay, on this situation, you can use the star because the guy is so close that he cannot, the ball cannot pass. You are sure over there, you are sure he's going to shoot. He's not going to dribble you. He's not going to chip. And because he doesn't have space for that. Okay, over there you can use the star. Let's call it the star to open that much. If he is close, but he still can do something, maybe you don't open that much because you are out of the play over there. And he can chip you the ball. You have to be higher. You must have your body higher. Okay. If you do the star, you go lower. If you don't do the star, you are higher because you feel that you are close, but he can ship the ball. So I stay a little bit bigger. But if the ball stays in the distance that I feel that I can react, don't rotate. Don't do the blocking save. Don't rotate. Stay like before. Stay to the ball. Okay? It's three different ways of the same thing. Here in Benfica, we call it, it's three types of 1v1. 1v1 before, okay, you arrive before the attacker, so you attack the ball and stay with the ball. 1v1 at the same time, it's that balls that you go at the same time of the attacker, but there is no other way of doing that. If you can go at the same time, you don't stop. You do the 2-4. You go. And there is the 1v1 after the attacker. The attacker has the ball, is in control of the ball. But the technique that I use in the 1v1 after that the attacker has the ball. So it depends on the distance. Long distance, it's like shots on goal. It's like it's not 1v1. It's not 1v1. It's a shot on goal. You react. So to react, to save the goal, what do you teach the goalkeepers? To stay to the ball. Stay to the ball in the lower position, okay? Because the ball is further, but not so far away that you have to be in a high position, okay, of the body. Low position, but stay to the ball. If the situation is a very short distance, you can block if there is no possibility of the attacker of doing anything, and you can do the star too. But I try to teach the star to Elton. It's different. It's difficult. Yeah, I have to accept that he does the star technique not so good. I try to teach the star technique to Miles Vilar, and he cannot do it so well as Vlaco Dimos, that does that since he is 10 years old, and he learned from the German school. Yeah.
Because with the
star, different techniques to different situations.
The problem with the star is that I think the only problem with the star is that sometimes if you open the leg too early, you can get the goal behind your legs, because that's the weakest point of the star. And that's hard. Neuer does that so well. I don't understand how can he does that so well, because it's just insane. I never saw Neuer conceding a goal doing the star between his legs. If I try to do the star, I will concede goal between my legs. It's not my save.
Yes, Neuer is a fantastic athlete. He can do things that every other goalkeepers, if they try to do the same thing, they have no success. You are not talking just about that. He's always very high. The ball is very close, and his body is very high, always. He doesn't have another basic position. In the moment of the shots, he jumps like crazy, like 1 meter. He jumps 1 meter and comes back and saves the ball. His legs are always like this, very open. But he's a fantastic athlete. So you cannot copy him.
No one can copy Neuer, because it's just insane.
He has success doing that. There is a name for that. There is the model. There is the model technique, and there is técnica modelo. In Portuguese, é técnica modelo. Ah, and there is the style technique. The model technique, it's what it's proved that it's the better for each situation. The style technique, it's the things that it's unique a guy can do, but we cannot reproduce that. For instance, when you control the ball, you teach the kids to control the ball with the inside of the foot. Yeah, it's the model technique.
Yes.
But Zinedine Zidane could control the ball with the outside of the foot, with the heel, with everything. But you don't start teaching the kids to control the ball with the outside of the foot. No, that's a resource that they can use, but the model technique, it's doing this. And I believe that model that Neuer is the same. He has his style, but it's not even close to the model. But he's very efficient. He's a very successful goalkeeper doing that.
And before, you mentioned Neuer and Oblak among your best goalkeepers, and they both have an interesting story, because when Oblak was 16, he came to Italy for a trial with a club in the second division in Italy, and the club said, no, Oblak is not good enough. And Neuer, when he was in Schalke, was 16 or maybe 15, Schalke wanted to get rid of Neuer because he wasn't big enough, and he wasn't his morphology wasn't big enough. But then he grew up so quickly in a couple of years, and they kept Neuer. So this is interesting as well, in my opinion.
Ederson was dismissed from Benfica. He came from Brazil to Benfica. He was 2 years in Benfica, and then Benfica dismissed him, and he played in the third league. He was under 19. He was playing in the third division here in Portugal. He played 2 years there, and then he went to the first league. He was in the bench of Oblak in Rio Ave. Oblak was the first, Ederson second. Then Oblak came to Benfica. Ederson became number one. He played, and then another goalkeeper played at the same time. Oblak go away, and then then came Julio Cesar, and after Benfica they had to buy Ederson again because he was dismissed. We bought Ederson again.
Did you work with Ederson on Oblak?
No. The only story that I can tell you is that Oblak made two matches in the B team, and I was the goalkeeper coach. So I worked with him for two training sessions and two matches.
Okay, can you tell me about Oblak? I don't know, something that happened, because he's my favorite goalkeeper, Oblak. That's why.
Very serious guy, very professional, top kid. He's not a kid anymore, but the top guy, very serious, very committed. Even in the B team, he was goalkeeper from the first team. They sent him to play on the B team, and he was very professional. And one thing that I liked a lot on him, impressed me in training, was the noise that his hands made on the ball. Every time he stopped a ball, not just catching the ball, sometimes to do deflections, you see that the noise was incredible. It was very noisy. Pa! Every ball he puts the hand on, pa! Great, big noise. You see, it's, and he was 20 years old, I think, 20, 21. And there was a match that he played against us that we won 5-1, the B team. We won. He was on the goal. We won. I think he suffered in a penalty, the goal. But we conceded like 10 shots on goal, 10 opportunities for the opponent to score. And it was incredible because he saved it all. But he saved, I'm not talking about big saves. No, great shots. And he moved and bah, catch the ball. Big shots, hey, goal, no. Bah, he catch the ball. Very easy saves. But you thought, when you saw the balls, you saw it's a goal. It's a goal and or a big save. No, no big saves. Difficult balls, but bah, stay with the ball. Very, very comfortable, like it's a piece of cake.
I saw that now in Atletico Madrid, he got bigger. I mean, his body... is bigger than a few years ago. I don't know how was his body when he was 20, if he was stronger even back then, but now he's huge.
I think it, I don't know, I haven't been with him, but he wasn't, I cannot say he was very strong then, but I cannot say he was weak.
Okay.
Too. I think he was normal, an athlete, athlete body. But if you tell me if he's stronger now, maybe yes. Yeah, he's okay. Grown.
Last question, and then I let you go. How was Oblak with his feet? Because I think no one knows, because with Atletico, he never played with his feet. He just kicked the ball long. And what I want to ask you is, how is Oblak with his feet? Is he good? Is he bad? I have no idea.
I think he's... he's enough, good enough. I think he's good enough. It's normal that we don't know because they don't play much with him. Yeah? I have a good story. I think he doesn't mind. He's not going to watch this, but I think he doesn't mind. And the guy that I'm talking about now doesn't mind too. I had a goalkeeper in the B team that, like you, he was a big fan of Oblak. And they and the Athletic Madrid came to Lisbon to play against Sporting in the Europa League. They came here, and I spoke with a friend of mine that has the contact of Jan Oblak. So we can, me and that goalkeeper, we can visit him on the hotel and stay with him. So that was arranged. I was there with the kids. He's not a kid anymore too. And we spoke, the three of us, like 2 hours. We were 2 hours after dinner speaking about stuff. He's a great kid. And one of the things he says is, they all speak about Ederson's feet. I wanted to see his feet if he plays in Athletic Madrid. With all the guys, I have the central defenders not inside the box. They are inside the 5 meters. They are inside the 5 meters area. And I know he spoke. Everybody says that Ederson controls very good the space. And plays very good with the feet. It's true, but I wanted to see him to play here in Athletic Madrid. The guys don't let him go. I stay in the line. Of course I stay in the line. I don't have a space to go. They are all, everybody is inside the 5 meters. And with the foot, they never pass the ball to me. They only pass the ball to me just to kick the ball longer than them. They don't want to play, never. So. You never know, you cannot know if he's really, really good. I think he's good enough.
Okay.
I think he's good enough. Now, for so many years, not with stimulation of using this building up, maybe he cannot reach the same level, but I believe that he's good enough.
Okay. Well, Fernando, thank you so much for your time. It was such a pleasure for me to talk with you for 2 hours about all these things. Really, I think I improved as a goalkeeper in these 2 hours.
Thank you. And if you, there are some things because it's not your native language, the English, and it's not my native language. Maybe some stuff I didn't said what you were thinking. I'm thinking about that things of weight, the weights, the plyometrics. If you need some more time for me to explain how we do things here and how I believe that we can do it.
Thank you so
we
much.
Have to do it. It's my pleasure. Okay.
Okay. I will post this on Spotify. I will text you, but I would post this on Spotify and I will cut some parts and I will put on Instagram and I will tag you if that's okay.
Cut what you do, what you don't like that I said, the things that you didn't like me to say.
No. I put the entire conversation on Spotify. I think in other platform I will text you, and on Instagram I can put just short videos, so I will like cut little parts and
You didn't reach Netflix yet, no?
Not yet.
What a pity.
Thank you so much and good luck for your exam.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, thank you.